Welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and it seems like it's been a while, but it really hasn't been too long. But since we're getting towards the end of the year, and it's always great to catch up with, you know, the best friends of the FitCast, that means I got to talk to Tony Gentlecore. Tony, how are you?
What is up? I feel by extension that the Gentlecore Lewis household have been crushing the FitCast.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, Lisa, like, did like the crazy thing of, I think she was on three episodes in like 2 months, which is pretty nuts.
I thought that was pretty cool. I listened to all of them. It was amazing. Not that I'm biased at all, but it was amazing.
I mean, when you have like a very interesting, I mean, she has a really cool angle on, you know, what we do as fitness professionals and on ways that we could do a better job helping people that are coming to us. So I think she has a really important message and some fantastic information and knowledge for people out there. So if you haven't already, you can go back and check those out, including the last one, which also featured Artemis Scandalides, who's now been on the show maybe three times. As well, we had a really strong month for female guests on the show last month, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
With them and of course, Julia Lewandowski back on the show, which is great. She was been gone for way too long from this show, so it was good to catch up with her. But Tony, last time we talked, you were just getting ready to go into your new facility. So,
it's been that long. So when was the last time we talked? It was middle summer?
No, it was before this. It was before Perform Better.
Oh wow, that long ago. Jeez.
Yeah.
Man.
So, with that being said, you know, what has it been like since Core has opened up? You got the signs up. You got people in and out of there. How have things been going?
Yeah, it's going well. Just to give a little bit of an update, like I've had a crash course in entrepreneurship and dealing with the town of Brookline, and you know, getting everything approved for putting the sign up, and like I that was like the biggest pain in the ass thing.
It was just I remember you talking about this at in Providence, but it was like just to get the sign up was like a bunch of paperwork.
Well, it's just like paperwork and red tape, and you know, going to a hearing, which I get, like they don't want people putting up like, you know, signs that have swear words and like, you know, phallic symbols or whatever. Not that I was going to do that, but
right.
But you know, they just want to make sure that it fits the feel of the neighborhood. But yeah, it's just nitpicky stuff. Like, oh, it might be a little too white, or how about this size, or do this. And I just wanted to be like, just take my money, let me put my sign up. And so that was just a drawn out process. And then, but you know, once that went up, like I've been in that facility for, you know, I took over the lease in June, and I didn't get that sign up until September. So, you know, it was kind of like, I mean, people were coming and training and reaching out and inquiring about services, but and where my gym is located gets a fair amount of walk by traffic. Mm-hmm. And I would see people walk by, they'd look in and they'd see people deadlifting, you know, doing carries and squatting and doing some cool stuff. And they look up at the sign, and it was called Run Strong Studio, because the owner before me, that was the name of the studio. And it would have like, it had a female runner on the front. And then people would look back in, look back up at the sign, and just be a little bit confused. You know, so I felt that hurt business a little bit. I mean, not much, because I mean, I get a lot of people reach out through me via my website, but yeah, you know, once the sign went up and the logo was up and Core, I feel like that's when Core became official, and I was able to like put it up and match the Google address with the name of the business, and that made it feel a little bit more official. And yeah, things are going well. Like I have no complaints. I got, you know, I'm there quite a bit during the week, and then I have people subleasing under me utilizing the space, and yeah, things are going really well. No complaints.
That's great to hear, because, you know, it's always, I mean, for people, let's just call it like in our line of work of like fitness, like that's always a really scary thing of like, basically you're kind of throwing yourself out there and being like, all right, I hope you guys show up.
In that regard, I feel like I was a little bit of an outlier in that I'm not an industry norm.
You definitely had some built-in you know, people that were going to be coming. So
yeah. So when I left Cresty Sports Performance, I mean, of course, having that brand recognition certainly helped. So having, you know, having helped start it, having spent 8 years there and then saying, okay, I'm kind of going off on my own. Like, and being that was a recognizable name helped. And of course, building a brand within a brand, which Pete Dupuy has talked about millions of times and, does a really good job of doing that. But, you know, I feel like I had a little bit to go in my favor in that, like, I had a lot of career capital, you know, as far as like waiting till the right time and not just saying, hey, I'm going to open up a gym. Let's do it. Just turn the lights on. People are going to show up. You know, I had to make sure that it was the right fit, the right time, under the right circumstances, in the right area, that it fit what I wanted my work-life balance to be. So that definitely helped. And, you know, and obviously I had a lot of people in my corner, you know, people like yourself and, you know, Artemis and Eric and Pete, of course. And, you know, I had a lot of industry notables like back in my corner that kind of helped me along the way. And if I needed to reach out for business advice or gym advice or anything like that, I had those people in my corner to help out. So it wasn't like I just like was by myself, so to speak, but I had a good community of people behind me to help out.
Well, I'm always like, and this is, I'm going to try to put this the best way possible, but you know, I think a lot of people are always worried once, you know, again, you helped start CSP and you're there for, what was it? Like
8 years.
8 years. Okay. So yeah. Like, and you're basically kind of, you know, leaving that space and it must feel like somewhat empowering being like, all right, like now you guys did an incredible job as a team there, but now it's like you can have Tony Techno Tuesday every day of the week. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like you have complete control over everything, which is, you know, very scary, but also it could be super empowering. So like how did you kind of balance that stuff out? What were your feelings like going into, you know, opening a day one?
Why I feel like I was an outlier was when I originally left, and I might have discussed this the last time, so forgive me if I do a little bit of an overlap, but I wasn't going in thinking I was going to open up a gym right away. Like I myself became a subleasee, right? And it wasn't super intimidating. So I didn't have a lot of overhead that I had to worry about. I just had to pay my rent however much time I used the facility. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to buy the equipment I needed. I didn't overreach myself. I didn't overextend myself. And then I was able to kind of accumulate clients and athletes and, you know, people to pay me for my services that way. And I had the CSP name and my own brand as a backdrop to that. So, again, that helped. And that was just accumulation of 8 to 10 years in the industry. So, mm-hmm. You know, people have to remember that I waited a long time to do that. And then once it came time to, okay, do I really, when the opportunity arose to possibly take over the lease and actually open up Core and make it a thing, that was intimidating because I never really acquainted my name with the term gym owner after that. I've always been an entrepreneur, I think. Like I think, you know, starting a blog, starting a website, doing distance coaching, speaking, and building that brand, you are an entrepreneur in doing that. But, you know, but adding in gym owner, that takes the word entrepreneur to a whole new level where now, okay, I'm responsible for overhead, liability insurance, equipment maintenance, cleaning, scheduling, you know, coming up with systems. And that became a little bit more daunting. And, you know, and I definitely some not sleepless nights, but, you know, staring at my ceiling, wondering, okay, what do I need to do tomorrow? What do I need to do to get this accomplished? Or how am I going to, you know, what am I going to do as far as my accounting and bookkeeping stuff and stuff that I absolutely hate doing? So that was a whole nother set of, I guess, issues that I had to come to terms with. And, you know, and then luckily again, having the network that I have, I was able to reach out to a few people and get suggestions and some help in that regard as well.
Yeah. And it's like I think you put it really well because, you know, we are, and it's like, I think we're in a little bit of a bubble when you kind of look at, you know, our circle of the fitness industry, but, you know, I see it whenever I on the rare times I do jump on Facebook these days to post about something that's going on, it's, you know, I'm being also bombarded about, you know, about fitness business stuff, like how to make like your first $1 million, how to get, you know, a 500 person membership site in 30 days and all this stuff. And, you know, I think it's a really scary time for consumers, because, you know, they're going to be potentially not necessarily misled, but you took the long road.
Yeah. And I also I often wonder, I don't know about how what you think about it, but when I see status updates like that on Facebook, or see like the ones you were referring to, like, you know, build a six-figure business, or, you know, how to get 500, whatever. I always wonder how many of those people who are writing those articles or those sponsored posts actually are that successful. I forget, it might have even been our buddy Chad Landers, or I've seen several people kind of call those type of individuals out, where they're selling a concept without actually being successful within that concept. You know, I often just wonder, I don't know where I'm going in my train of thought, but I've always wondered, like, you know, it's not really that easy. So like, you could just read an article and you're like, okay, all set. I learned everything. I learned everything that I need to be successful. I do think it's the long game that wins. And I do think it's about being patient, and doing the work, and, you know, planning and making sure it's the right fit. I mean, I understand that when I say that, it's not a sexy answer. And it's probably not what most people want to hear. But, you know, I don't know of many people who did it overnight and did it the right way. So without taking, like I said, the long track, so to speak. So I don't know. I know I'm kind of rambling, but
I mean, you're kind of in a similar mindset than me, and like it's weird because I do you know, when I do a lot of these CFSC events, like it's like some of these discussions sometimes come up, or like, you know, how to. Now, you know, what should we be doing as fitness professionals outside of like just nailing what we're doing on training and programming and coaching and all that stuff? And, you know, I start saying like, well, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, which sounds weird, but I've been training people since I was 18, which was 12 yeah. years ago. Like yep. I've been doing this podcast for 10 years. So pick your action movie, but I've seen some shit. And you know, you kind of need to do your best as a fitness professional to, you know, remember like, well, how do I want to be portrayed? Like, what am I going to do, you know, in my day to day that I can be proud of? And that was super important to me. That's why, you know, if you kind of look at, you know, anything that I do, or like there are ways that I could monetize this podcast that would make me so much more money, but it would be super gross. And I would be like, you know, if I was downloading the Fitcast, I'd be like, F that guy, like, God, that's sleazy and gross.
Yeah, there's a degree of personal integrity that people kind of have to have that conversation with themselves, especially when it, and not even so much with regards to opening up a gym, but even like building a brand and doing like online.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And it's like, because I agree, like I do feel like even with mine and Dean's recent launch of our complete shoulder and hip workshop. And I'm not doing this as like a lame plug or anything, but I learned a lot doing that in ways. I knew myself personally, and I had this conversation with Dean. I wanted to do it in a way like making the sales page or the landing page or the ad copy. I wanted to make it as non-douchey as possible.
Yeah.
And just be like, Here's me, Dean. Like, people know who we are. Like, we've done these workshops, and we link to like pictures of us doing our workshop and people's recommendation of our workshop. But here's what the product's about. Here's what you're going to learn. Here's the price. Here's what we feel like you're going to get some benefits out of it. And it was relatively short and to the sweet, considering. I mean, I know there's some ad copies that are very long, and I know the research and saying that those are the ones that do well,
or how it should be finished, like, and it should be 97 cents instead of 99 cents.
And I know, I mean, and don't get me wrong, there is a degree of that game that you have to play. Like there's right. There's a healthy medium, but I really feel like in doing that whole shtick that Dean and I, particularly me, and having the conversation with him, because he's done it before, and he's done product launches that I felt were short and to the point. Like they weren't like these douchey, sleazy ad copies and like you know, that go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We just said, hey, here's the product. Here's what we think is going to help you. Boom, there you go. And so there's that. And then, I mean, and then we can get in the conversation of like just marketing in general. Like, you know, I'm with you. Like, I don't, there's probably a lot of things that I could monetize more or do better at monetizing as far as my blog posts and stuff like that. And I do use affiliate marketing. Like I do come across a lot of great products that I like that I feel will help a lot of people. And I have no qualms at all with putting my name behind Eric Cressy's products or Mike Robertson's products or Brett Contreras or any of these people and helping get the word out for that. And I know there's a little bit of a bad taste in some people's mouths as far as like, oh, well, here's the circle jerk, you know, affiliate marketing again. They're all pimping each other's products. And I just think that's a horrible way of looking at it, because honestly, I've been called out a couple times about that. And I can tell you right now, I did the math. I was like, listen, I think somebody called me out and was like, why is everything you write have to be selling something? And I was like, you know what, dude, that's not true. I've written over 1,800 posts on this website, and I can tell you that less than 5% of them are selling anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I've given up a ton of free content over the course of 10 years. And you know what? Far be it from me to point you in the direction of people like Eric Cressy, Mike Robertson, Jen Sinclair, Nia Shanks, Lee Taft. Like, I'm not being an asshole by directing people to their resources. Like, they're making the industry better, and my bad for having smart friends. So
wait, who's Eric Cressy?
Yeah, exactly. And he's a dick. No, I'm just kidding.
That's not where I was going.
No. But obviously, you know, people know that Eric and I are best friends. They think they thought there was this funny, because they thought there was like this huge falling out of me leaving, and that was that. That's a whole nother conversation. The internet goes crazy over
the internet's crazy. But I think like, I mean, you're making solid points, and I mean, we don't have to you know, rehash it too much, but. Now, the way that I kind of look at it, and then we'll try to table the fitness business stuff. I try not to get too deep into that on here, but like at the end of the day, the best thing that you can do is, you know, always check your ego and look from the outside in and be like, all right, if I was, you know, a trainer or a coach or whatever, and I just came upon this, you know, this podcast, or came upon, you know, this certification or this DVD series, like, would this be something that I would A, find value in, B, I wouldn't find to be gross marketing, even if it is effective, and then, you know, C, at the end of the day, I would be so incredibly blown away by it that I would, like, I would recommend it to my closest of friends with a 100% like no doubt about a guarantee that you know, they would benefit from it. And that's why, you know, I think the FitCast, like, you guys see, I never, like, I don't have a newsletter. Like, it just, it's there if you want it. If you want it, awesome. If you want to tell a friend about it, better. If you want to become a Patreon supporter and you believe in this podcast, that is the best. But, like, I don't fill it with advertising. If there are advertising, it's from people that I really trust, like the people at Pedestal, or, you know, in the past, like we had like Quest Bars before they blew up, or Greens Plus, or like Craig Ballantyne with Turbulence Training. Like, it was always about like, all right, well, yeah, I tell people about this stuff anyways. Like, of course, you know, it's awesome that they want to also, you know, support me and believe in what I'm doing. But like at the end of the day, it's not going to be a membership site. It's not going to be any of that stuff. And it's the same thing with our certification. Like, I'm kind of always bummed out if people aren't feeling like they ripped us off. Like, they should feel like they ripped us off with how much they got out of it.
Yeah.
And if they didn't, all right, guys, we got to figure out like, how can we do this a little bit better for next time?
Yep. And I, you know, and two undervalued things that I think a lot of people miss out on is integrity, which we talked about, and authenticity. I think if you kind of put those at the forefront of everything you do, because people can see through the bullshit of like being super douchey marketing, like buy this, buy that, do this, do that. Because I'm with you, like I don't put one ad on my website, like I don't need to, and I don't want people to think like I'm trying to sell them something every time they click on something. So yeah, I think if people just stuck to their guns and said, hey, I'm going to do this with as much integrity as possible, stick to my guns on what I what my values are, what my mission is in this industry, and then do it and be authentic about it. I think people would that'd be a good starting point for pretty much everyone.
All right, let's talk about some fitness stuff. And this is a cool idea that we had just before we started recording. I think that'd be a good starting jumping off point. Is like, you know, we as coaches and as trainers and, you know, fitness professionals, however you want to put it, you know, there's always these things that, you know, we're giving to our clients for homework. We're making sure, like, we're building these things into their programs to make sure that they are performing optimally. We're making sure that they're not going to have any kind of, asymmetry issues or posture issues or, pain issues, anything like that. But then when it comes to the time when we go train, we're like, oh, well, I only got 45 minutes, so I'm just going to do 10 sets of chin-ups and 10 sets of trap bar deadlift and then not even warm up. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I guess my question for you is, like, you know, as someone that has been kind of messing around with some of this stuff, what are the things that, you know, we tend to miss out on, but we really need to do a better job at, like, paying attention to and, you know, giving them the time and the actual what's the word that I'm looking for, the time and the, I guess, the respect that they deserve.
Yeah, that's. I feel like there are a lot of fitness professionals falling this trap where we do an assessment on somebody and they're hiring us for our expertise and they see value in what we have to offer as far as, like, developing a program that's to their needs, to their goals, and then making sure that they follow through and making sure they do it correctly, and auditing their technique and all that stuff. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, as fitness professionals, we kind of we tend to not do what we tell people to do, and that, like, you know, like the monotonous stuff, like dead bugs and bird dogs and doing our foam rolling and warming up correctly. And
let me ask you before we even go deeper into this, like, yeah, the excuse that I give myself when I sometimes, you know, have a shorter warm up, a more condensed, you know, set of drills that I will do for mobility and for activations and stuff, is like, well, I'm strong. Like, I don't need that stuff. I don't have low back pain. I don't have any, like, instability where I should have stability. And I don't have any kind of, issues that would necessitate that stuff, even though probably it wouldn't hurt that I did it. But, you always find justifications to, I guess, not do it.
Yeah. Time's always a factor, but, I think if anything, if you want to call it preventative maintenance, you can say it's that, or you can call it bulletproofing your body. You can say it's that. I mean, there's probably some witty term that you and I could probably come up with that would justify doing the stuff that we should be doing.
What about, like, Kevlar?
Like a Kevlar system?
Yeah, that's what if I ever sold an ebook or a program, it would be the Kevlar system.
Kevlar system. But, I just started this week a beta program from another coach, and it's coinciding with my current strength training program. So it's kind of like a separate program, but I'm kind of easily integrating it into my program. And it's in beta, so I don't want to say who it is or what it's about. But, well, I can say what it's about, but it's a core and glute training program, and it runs for 3 months, and you do it 3 days a week. Or if you're doing it as its own thing, then you can do it more. But because I'm doing it in conjunction with my training, so I'm training 3 to 4 days a week, lifting weights, and I'm going to do this program 2 to 3 times a week. And I just did it. I just did day one today, and it was really rudimentary stuff. It was bird dogs. It was quadruped hip lifts and straight leg extensions with hip abduction and glute bridges. And it took me probably, I don't know, 30 to 40 minutes to complete. And I felt great after I was done. But I definitely saw a lot of limitations of where I need to do some more work. To me, it's no surprise that, yeah, you know, I've been dealing with some little bit of back issues here and there. And, you know, I keep telling myself in the back of my head, like, oh, I should be doing my bird dogs more, or I should be doing more of these stretches. And so I'm using this program as a way of holding myself accountable. And I'm pretty excited about it. Like, it gels well with my current program, my current strength program. And I'm excited to see where it takes me. And I'm pretty confident that I'm going to be feeling like $1 million pretty soon. And you know, I'm hoping that, and it, again, it's just like we coaches need coaches. And I haven't written one of my own programs in I don't know how long. And I've hired coaches. I follow other programs that other coaches are writing that I respect a lot. And, you know, it's been great. Like the last person we all want to train is ourselves. So, you know, the same reason why a lot of people hire us for our services, like, hey, I'm banged up or I want this, I'm training for this goal, help me get there. It's kind of what we need to do as well. So, I guess if you want to call that integrity, you can call that integrity as well.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm going to run with it.
I want to make sure as we go through this stuff that we mix in some questions from Facebook and stuff. But I'm kind of curious, like, just jumping off of that one more time, are there any kind of like your go-to, whether it be like mobility drills or activations that you know, not necessarily to speak for yourself, but that like we should all be doing, like we should be making sure that we're taking the time and getting these things turned on, fired up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can ever go wrong with just priming the glutes before we train. One thing that I've been, the ideal that I've been stealing a lot lately is from John Rustin, when the idea of ramp sets. So I do think there's a lot of validity and efficacy behind doing a proper warm up, as far as like, okay, you know, a lot of people sit in their butts all day before they go to the gym. So I do feel like there's a lot of good things that can happen. Okay, let's do some glute activation. Let's do some hip internal external rotation drills. Make sure we're getting motion from the hip and not your lower back, and, you know, do some T-spine stuff. No, excuse me. I just burped. Sorry. But I think anyone would find a lot of value in that. And that, but also on the other end of the spectrum, people will make the warm-up too much of a thing, to the point where, you know, they're on the foam roller for 30 minutes and then they're doing all their mobility drills. And then before you know it, 45 minutes have passed and it's like, holy cow, I don't have much more time to train. And then they just fire through a shoddy workout. What I like is doing maybe an expedited warm up and then doing the ramp sets that John Rustin, has popularized of late. Mm. And that's basically just saying, okay, your main lift of the day is a squat. So we're going to do 4 to 5 ramp up sets of your squat to work up to your work sets. And then that's going to be your warm up. So what better way to warm up for the squat than to actually squat? So, it's kind of brilliant in its simplicity. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of a neat way to accumulate work capacity and a little bit more volume. Because a lot of his programs will call for 3 to 4 sets of 8 to 10 of ramp up sets, and they're light loads. Like they're not like super heavy loads or anything, but you know, he'll call for, you know, 4 to 5 ramp sets before you even do your work sets, which I think is kind of cool. So, you know, what better way to warm up for the bench press than to do some bench pressing or deadlifting than to do some deadlifting. So yeah, that's kind of like the camp I've been falling under of late.
So you just jogged my memory, like talking about going back in time to a Chad Waterbury article from 2003. Going back in time here, folks. But yeah, Big Boy Basics. I don't know why that yeah. name popped in my head.
Remember
but
that
I,
one? Yeah.
I totally. You know, doing some high volume training. But I guess the thing that really stood out to me from that discussion, I think, is worth emphasizing is, like, I think with us as coaches, when we coach other people, and even when we coach ourselves, we sometimes forget, like, it's super important to get incredibly good at the basics, like the basic movement patterns, like making sure that, you know, hey, can you, like, do, let's call it 5 to 10 bodyweight chin-ups before you start doing, like, a bunch of variations, or even, like, when it comes to the lower body stuff, like, are you really good at just, like, single leg deadlifts before you start, you know, shooting for a 500-pound trap bar deadlift, like having those basics down before you start trying to
go crazy. And
I would even
like take that a step further and just say the basics as far as like being able to coach a dead bug appropriately or a bird dog appropriately, yeah, and making sure people are locking themselves in as far as their core and glute engagement, and then making sure that they are getting movement from the appropriate places. And I mean, it's very mundane and it's not very, very much unsexy, but that's the shit that's going to prevent people from getting hurt, you know, because then if you can't build context and do that stuff correctly, the whole, you know, for them to go off and do God knows what, as far as like deadlifts versus chains and squatting and this and that, like they're not going to own that movement. So, that's why, like, I feel like, you know, I know I'm not the only fitness professional this isn't to say that I'm like, I always skip my warm up or I never do dead bugs and bird dogs. That's not what I'm saying, but I know I should be doing more of it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I'm just trying to hold myself a little bit more accountable and practicing what I preach. Right. So, that might even be the bigger message that you and I are trying to send here, is that, you know, you gotta practice what you preach, and you even do the small stuff that you're telling your clients to do as well.
Okay. I promised we'll get into questions for Facebook. People actually stepped up, really delivered some good stuff on here. So I think we're going to devote the rest of the time to questions from there. Otherwise, I'm going to feel terrible. So Julian, a good friend of ours, asked Tony what advice he has for someone trying to build a blog and or an online program. What are some of the roadblocks to watch out for, mistakes you have made?
I think... I haven't made any mistakes, Kevin.
Wait, we're talking. I should have mentioned we're talking about Tony Gentilcore, author of the Boston Herald Step Up blog.
Yes.
You started at the top.
I lucked out a little bit, and I had that to right out of the gate.
What was that, like a client of yours that worked at the Boston Herald?
Yeah, when I moved to Boston, I had a client who was working at the Herald, who was like, hey, you know, we're doing this thing on our website where we have a lifestyle blog, we have a cooking blog, we have whatever blog. We need somebody to write about fitness. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. And I did that for close to 2 years. Got a slap on the wrist a couple times as far as some of my language.
Good content, yeah.
So that I kind of lucked out in that I had a pretty decent platform to begin with, and was able to parlay that to my own. But I think, you know, if I had to say what's the biggest roadblock or mistake that a lot of people make with regards to starting a blog, is emailing me and asking me that question. Like, don't, like, just start it. I think you were talking about this not too long ago with writing. I forgot what episode I was listening to, but, you know, even if it's just one day a week or one blog a week, you know, if you hold yourself to that one blog post a week over the course of a year, you've written 52, and you've probably gotten a little less sucky with your writing after writing 52 blog posts, and then passable, you can write coherent sentences, and you know the difference between all the theirs and yours, hopefully. And then after that, it's just again, consistency. So, you know, not to, again, this isn't a bragging point I'm trying to make, but I've written upwards of 1900 blog posts over the course of 10 years.
And you're pretty old. Like,
and you know, my 40th birthday is coming up. Kevin, that's 10 years that I've been writing, and all I did was I started, and I held myself accountable. It's like, hey, I'm going to write, I'm going to do it X amount of times a week, and it fits into my schedule. And so really, I can't say anything other than you just need to shut up and start. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And as far as like website stuff, I mean, there's plenty of free templates that you can upload and do that. And you just got to buy a domain name, which is pretty cheap. And then you're golden. You don't need, I don't think anyone needs to invest a ton of money to begin with, as far as like building a website. Once you get to a point you feel like you could start monetizing things cool, there's definitely things you can look into, but there's plenty of free templates. And with distance coaching, even now there are a ton of apps and platforms that people can use. That, I mean, I'm a little bit old school in that the bulk of my distance coaching, I still use an Excel spreadsheet. I have my template that I use. I write the programs, I send them out with an exercise database, and I email back and forth. That's what works for me. But I also know with my distance coaching, I tend to cap mine between 10 to 15 clients, because I feel like anything more than that tends to compromise the quality of the programming becomes too much work, so to speak. And so I cap mine between those two in that number range. And but that's also because I'm also actually coaching on the side in person. Plus, I'm running a website. Plus, I travel for speaking. Plus, you know, I got to make time for my wife, you know, geez. So that's just me personally. But there are certainly plenty of platforms like exercise.com, strengthportal.com that offer trainers the tools they would need to build a systemized distance coaching program. And a lot of John Goodman stuff, he writes a lot about this stuff. He has his online training academy. So there are plenty of options out there to help build systems that can make people successful in that regard.
Yeah, and I think you just to again emphasize one of the things that you said. It's whether it's a blog that you're doing or a website where you want to start doing articles, any kind of content. At the end of the day, it's about quality and consistency. Like if you don't like put the care into it to at least like proofread it. People are going to be like, they don't really even care about what they're writing about.
Yeah. And that's tough. Like I know some people like Pete, like he's been writing his blog for a little over a year now. And he sticks to one day a week, which is fine. And every article he puts out is money. And I think his wife is the one that edits his blogs. And I'm at a point now where I can kind of self edit myself, although I'm still not great. I mean, certainly when I submit something to T Nation or Men's Health, I mean, those are like editors. Mm-hmm. they clean it up. But, I feel like over the course of my writing career, I've gotten better at auditing myself as far as the quality and like style and making stuff like less is more. Like that's a lesson that I learned a lot. I learned that from Brian Cron. Like after you write a blog or an article, like you write it, your goal after that is to erase 20% of it. Cause he's like, you're always going to, use too many words or some things just don't fit. So that's a quality tip that I learned from him. And he's an amazing writer, not just a fitness writer, but just an amazing writer. And that's something that resonated with me a lot. It was just like, okay, I just wrote this thing, time to take off 20% of it. And then, I also can't understate the value of reading out loud, like reading your stuff out loud as you're writing it. Cause if it doesn't sound great with you saying it out loud, then it doesn't sound remotely good, on screen. So that's another thing that's a skill that people can learn to help their writing. I can go on and on and on. I don't want to make this a whole writing thing, but
yeah, let's hit on some more questions. Artemis is giving you crap about how weak you are. We can probably skip
that
one.
She said that. Well, she's like unhuman. So comparing myself to her, she's ballet, kung fu, like strong.
She's an X-Man.
If there's anyone that's a freaking superhero, it's her.
And unfortunately she's moving to Las Vegas.
Yeah, she'll have fun out there.
What a bummer. All the cool kids move out west. So let's go to this question from, who is this guy? Jeffrey Hemingway? Who is that?
Oh, who's that guy?
Well, first off, he wants to – sorry, Jeff, if you haven't heard, he was on the show last week, guys. If you could distinguish which voice was his versus Harold's. He first wanted to know what Lisa thought of Bear Burger. You seem to have. Tony seems like he always has.
You have an obsession
with food places that are in like cities that you don't normally go to. Like I've been to Bear Burger. It's okay. It's not like I could find a burger that it's pretty almost as good to that.
You know what?
5 minutes from my house.
Kevin, that place is amazing.
I mean, it's not going to be. It's not going to be. Blessed by the Dalai Lama. It's not going to be. Whatever it is, like open. It's not going to be grass fed and able to graze on a 14-mile acre. Or I don't even know what I'm saying. Anyways, did Lisa like it?
She was a fan. Like we got there last Saturday night because we were in town for a wedding, Mark Fisher's wedding. And she had dinner plans with a friend of hers. She has a really old friend of hers that lives in the city. So she went off with a friend. I went, like, within the hour of parking my car and checking in the hotel, I was in a Bear Burger. and then no less than like maybe I think the following morning, right for lunchtime, we walked into the same Bear Burger, and the same people that served me the night before were there for brunch the following morning. Like, oh, hey, what's going on? You again? So I went within like less than a 12-hour span, and yeah, it was lovely. I love that place.
Okay, we don't need to go too in depth. It's a solid place that you can go to if you're in the New York area, but I'm more interested in Chris's question. What kind of cookies do you love most from Smackery's?
Funfetti.
All right, yeah, that's okay.
Amazing. That place too is like, I was always, every time I go to New York, because it's so close to
MFF, yeah.
That's like the place to go get dessert or get a snack. And every time I come home back to Boston and tell, oh my God, this cookie place, Smackery's, it's amazing. She's like, it's like, who are you? Like, when do you go out of your way to eat cookies? And I'm like, you don't understand. So yeah, when we were there last weekend, we were walking around and we ended up just by coincidence, you know, walking right past Smackery's. And yeah, I told her to get the Funfetti, and they're all good though. Let's be honest.
I mean, that's again, just for reference for you guys, it's a cookie shop that tends to have a line out the door.
I think I think it's on West 45th off of 9th.
Okay, I mean, people have cell phones now, so they can type it into their cell phone and they can find it out. We don't have to give them step-by-step directions. So, just say donate. So again, now that we're continuing to hang out in New York, let's get a question from Jennifer Parker. Jen, what's up? I'd be interested in knowing how Tony divides his time between his developing and managing his various revenue and business building segments. How much time does he spend marketing, business planning for coaching at Core? Does he actively instigate new business and clients? So, Jen, you got a couple other questions on top of that, but I guess, like, what does your general day look like these days when it comes to like breaking down your time, I guess?
I just turn the lights on and people show up. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, we've been talking about that. Nothing. Sorry. Another joke that lays flat. Thanks, Kevin. Like, no response. Like,
sorry. I'm not Ryan Seacrest. I'm not here to like laugh at all your jokes. I'm not Jimmy Fallon.
So my typical day, do you want me to just run through a typical day?
Yeah. What time do you get up in the morning, Tony? It's like 8:30 now.
No. I'm up between 5:30, 6 a.m. And, you know, that's when Lisa gets up to go to head to the gym. Mind you, can I just tell you how, like, you want to talk about rock stars? My wife,
yeah,
who's currently 7 months pregnant, is still strength training 3 days a week and teaching 3 spin classes a week.
And putting together a fitness summit in Arizona.
Like, she, you want to talk about, if she's getting up at 5:30, 6 a.m. every morning, like, I have no excuse not to.
Lisa, I'm too tired. I'm going to stay in bed for a little bit.
So I get up. So she'll leave to go to the gym. And then I get up, I make the bed because I'm a champ, and I make breakfast. And then usually while I'm eating breakfast is when I catch up on local news. I'll check emails and social media, stuff like that. And then by the time Lisa gets home, takes a shower, gets ready for work, it's about 8 o'clock, a little after 8 o'clock. And that's when she leaves, that's when I take my laptop into the dining room, plop it on the table. And that's when I kind of start my writing day. So generally starting from like 8:30 till, I don't know, 10:30, 11, 12 o'clock sometimes is when I'm doing my writing. Because I suck. I don't plan ahead. So whatever blog post goes out that day is what I wrote that morning. And that's probably why I should work ahead and actually hire an editor and have somebody do that. Because, I mean, you want to talk about editing, I'm always going back and seeing spelling errors. So, but it's a blog, so whatever. And then on a day that I actually go to the facility, after I get my writing done, I'll go to the gym and work out. So I'll either go to BU or I hit up the CrossFit that's in my neighborhood. Sometimes I go to my facility, but it just depends on whether or not somebody else is using it. And I'll get my workout in. Then usually when I get back from that, I'll have a couple of hours of like, okay, if there are any programs I need to write, any emails I need to respond to as far as like scheduling, you know, people reaching out to come in and observe, you know, inquiries, like people want to set up their initial assessment. That's all stuff that I do myself. But at the same time, one thing that's helped me a ton is I have a virtual assistant. She is a real person. She just lives in New Hampshire. So I just call her my virtual assistant, because I'll email her and send her like all the people who came in to work out the night prior. She keeps track of all my sessions done, who has how many sessions left, whose programs are due. That's one thing that's helped tremendously as far as like just a lot of shit that I don't need to worry myself about, just hand it off to somebody else. And then she kind of like runs my day, so to speak, as far as like the day-to-day operations of CORE. And then I get to the facility at like 4 p.m. and I'll start seeing clients at 4. And I'm semi-private, so I'll have anywhere from 2 to 4 people in every hour. And on a weeknight, I'm usually there from 4 till about 8. And that's usually a mix of, if I do a one-on-one assessment, that's always one-on-one and there's no one else in there. And that takes me an hour, hour and a half. And then I schedule all my clients after that. And then I come home after that and, you know, Lisa will want to, hey, how was your day? Who'd you see? What'd you do? And then I'll veg out. Like you want to talk about work and life balance. I don't want to be working all day, all the time. It's very easy to get into the email trap. And I find I get into it a lot, where you get up in the morning and it's like, even sometimes like, oh shit, I got to go work out. And I've been answering emails for forever. I need to start getting on that train where I only check emails like once or twice a day. I still got to figure out a way to hold myself accountable on that. But yeah, like I like to get home and like Lisa and I will watch a little bit of Netflix or we'll watch Westworld or whatever. And then but you go to bed pretty early. I do think one of the things that helps me be so productive is the fact that I go to bed early, I get up early. So I'm still getting 7, 8, 9 hours sleep a night, but I'm going to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock and I'm getting up at 5, 5:30, 6. So that might change in a couple of weeks when the little guy arrives. So we'll see how that goes. But that more or less is a typical day. I'm still learning as I go, like, you know, as far as like being able to have my virtual assistant, like that took me a while to kind of get on that train. Like I was doing everything, I was getting frustrated. And then lo and behold, my friend Kelly Davis was like, hey, you know, I have this woman, she helps me out a lot. Maybe she could help you. She's kind of local, you know, maybe you guys can kind of trade barter, like you can write her programs. And I was like, absolutely. Like that's a no brainer to me. If I can use my skill set to pay somebody else to help me, I'm all for it. So, she's been amazing. I love it. And, but I'm still kind of like learning as I go, as far as like organization and systems. And, I made CORE what I want it to be. Like I told myself, like, listen, when I leave Cressy Sports Performance, I want to coach 15 to 20 hours a week tops. That's all I want to do. And how am I going to set myself up for that? And if I was going to take over this facility, I need to make sure that I have people underneath me using the space when I'm not there to help me pay with overhead. I was able to do that. And that allowed me the opportunity to still do my writing, still travel when I need to travel. And yeah, it's worked. So that's it.
And that is it, because that's where we're going to wrap up this episode of the show. And, you know, potentially if you are interested in picking up Tony and Dean's latest information, I'll have a link for it in the show notes. And the cool thing about that is that it will kick a little bit back towards the FitCast as well. I got to check it out a couple months ago. It is outstanding. And I'm still looking forward to getting to one of your guys' workshops if it ever... Like, I'm like you guys now, where I'm...
I got to get a Boston one going out. Whether it's right. Dean and I or my wife and I... yeah, that's 2017. That's definitely going to happen.
Or even like it would be really rad if you came to NBSC and did like an in-service or something.
Oh, I could do that. Yeah, let's set that up.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll kind of wrap up things there. If you're a Patreon supporter, you're getting a Patreon exclusive segment after this, a little off topic. Thank you. And again, I mentioned it before, but it means so, so much that people do become patrons at patreon.com/thefitcast. It really helps support the show. And as you probably heard, like, you know, there are no sponsors at this current time. Still looking for, you know, a sponsor that makes sense for the show and for you guys, the audience.
You know,
but
who needs to sponsor you is Bear Burger.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do that after I said, yeah, I can get one just as good down the street.
That's true.
I could go to Burger King and get something that's pretty close to what you can get at Bear Burger. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, for real, thank you so much to everyone that does become a Patreon supporter. It will mean a lot because we had a couple of people that dropped off over the last couple of weeks, people that have been supporting the show for like years. So if you can jump on there or make a one-time or a monthly donation via PayPal at fitcast.network, you can do that via the little button there on the right-hand side. And it's super easy to do. So I appreciate everyone that does do that. Tony, anything else that people should keep a heads up for things on your end?
Anyone wants to send me any advice for a newborn, what to expect, that would be very much appreciated.
I wish you were having like triplets.
Yeah, so did you and Pete and Eric. Like when they found out.
Well, Eric,
like they were like, you're going to have triplets. And I'm like, no.
Well, Eric had twins. I mean, might as well one-up them.
I'll just one-up them. But I'm planning 2017. Like, I've had a few people reach out as far as doing workshops in Orlando and Charlotte. And people want Dean and I to do some stuff together. And Lisa and I are looking to travel over to Europe and doing a couple workshops. So even though we have a little guy coming, we still plan on working. So and if anyone listening is interested in having me, myself and Dean, or my wife and I, or even my wife and Artemis, who they do a fantastic job, they you know, let me know. But and I might have a little product in the works too with another friend of mine that might be catered to the 40 plus crowd, since I'm turning 40 in a couple weeks. It dawned on me that there's not a lot of products out there that target that demographic. So look for that, I think.
Love it. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. And again, thank you so much to everyone that tuned in this episode. I really appreciate it. And hopefully, if you're listening to this as a Patreon supporter, hopefully you have a great Thanksgiving if you're in the States. And yeah, for everyone else, you know, getting ready for the holidays, just make sure you give out some love. You know what I'm saying? Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. We'll see you next time. Everyone, welcome back for another Patreon exclusive segment. Of course, when I have to talk to Tony Gentilcore, or I should say, not when I have to, when I talk to Tony Gentilcore, we have to do an extra off topic segment because, you know,
we have to because
I feel like what we could do is like just talk about Logan, talk about the trailer for Logan for an hour.
You know what? The last Wolverine movie sucked balls.
No, it didn't.
But this one looks amazing.
Wolverine in Japan?
Yeah, that one sucked. But the thing that I mean, this trailer looked unreal. Like, I will admittedly admit that it looked unbelievable. And what I'm looking up the director right now, because when I looked up on IMDb, I understood why it had, yeah, James Mangold directed it. So he's a guy that directed.
He did the last one too.
Yeah, he did the original Wolverine. No, he didn't.
No, he did.
He did do it. Oh man, but he's done other ones like Walk the Line, Girl Interrupted 3. So this one, I feel like, is going to be redemption time. Like this looked pretty legit.
And what the last one was great too.
What did you think about the last X-Men movie?
I actually didn't see it. I was questioning picking it up because it's on like Black Friday sales a little bit early, but I heard like lots of mixed to negative things about it.
It was mixed. Like I would say it was the weakest of the newer cast. But you know, it's a superhero movie. You know, you got a lot of explosions and fights, and so it makes it worthwhile. But definitely not. It was definitely the weakest one of the last three or four.
Well, I just want to let you know that Rotten Tomatoes completely disagrees with your assessment of The Wolverine that took place in Tokyo, Japan. It got extremely high reviews.
What was it? What was it?
70%.
All right. Well, I disagree. Like, I think Rotten Tomatoes is just kind of wrong.
they don't know what they're doing over there. Just stupid aggregators and computers. But yeah, I mean that's going to be really cool.
It looks phenomenal. I'll give them that.
I mean, I want to know what I mean. Like, I remember it was maybe like Men's Health or Men's Fitness where he did like a piece of like. It's still what pops up. Like every time one of these movies pops up, it's like, all right, how are you going to do the Chris Evans workout or the Hugh Jackman diet? So at least maybe this is the last time we're going to have to hear about that from Hugh Jackman,
well,
which is
the
nice.
Hugh Jackman diet is basically play the same ripped character for a decade and just look the part for a decade.
Yeah, just stay in shape for 10 years.
So it's just a law of consistency there.
I mean, it's unfortunately something that the likes of what's his face from the other guys cannot pull off. The Australian guy or New Zealand guy.
Oh, Gerard Butler?
No, the guy from Gladiator.
Oh, Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe cannot pull that off. He wasn't looking so hot in the other guys, but it was a funny movie.
Was it The Nice Guy? Aren't you talking about The Nice Guys?
Yeah, when I say the other guys?
The other guys, which is like the Will Ferrell.
That's the Will Ferrell one. Yeah, sorry. Whatever. Yeah, it's not. It's like, yeah, sorry. Like, Hollywood's not a very diverse place these days in terms of film, you know, genres and titles.
I'm going to write a movie called Those Guys.
Yeah. The other, I don't know. Anyways, but I mean, it's always cool to talk about some stuff in terms of media with you because you have a rather interesting taste when it comes to media consumption. You will, you know, go to the local. Is it the Cambridge?
I go to the Coolidge in Brookline. It's my snobby movie theater that I go that plays foreign films that I go to. Well, not just foreign films. It just plays independent films. So it's just it's a film lovers theater, independent theater. So I go to that, but I go to the regular movie theater too. Like Lisa and I went the other day and we saw Arrival, which was really, really good.
I really need to see that. Actually, you know what? I'm actually going to see a movie tonight.
What are you going to go see?
The Wizard.
Ooh, all right.
Have you seen that?
The old school one, The Wizard?
Yeah, with Fred Savage
Come on, when I was a kid, that was like my anthem.
Okay, so that was that's like one of my favorite movies. And if you haven't seen it, and there's actually an episode of Back of My Play about it. But
is that the one where they debut Super Mario
Brothers 3?
Okay, yeah, yep.
Right, so it's if you haven't seen it, it's about, you know, it's a road trip movie, right? It's it's about Fred Savage and his I don't know if they actually like classify it, but his little brother is, you know, he's very quiet. It's like, you know, we don't know if he's like just traumatized from the loss of his sister, which is pretty much what it was. But anyways, he's very good at video games, Fred Savage's brother, and they meet up with what's her face? Who's a singer?
It's been a while since I've
figured
seen
you might know this, but it's got like a really good cast. It's got Bo Bridges. It's got a nice, you know.
It's definitely a classic movie. Like,
yeah, it's got a Christian
classic,
Slater,
classic late '80s movie.
Totally. But yeah, that's playing down at the. I have some friends. They're not friends, but people that actually know me through the internet. That opened up a barcade in Salem. So I'm going there to hang out with those guys tonight to
and
watch
a movie.
And they're
playing it there.
Yeah, they're playing it at the bar,
that's
which is
cool.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, yes. So there's just a bunch of people. Is it free or
I have no idea. It's a huge event or not a huge event. It's an event that they put up on Facebook. But I think it's just Barcade. It is Bit Bar Salem is what it's called if you're ever in the Massachusetts area.
That's
but
a very cool idea.
And I believe one of my old arcade machines is actually in this. This is like one of the things I'm doing is trying to investigate to see if one of my old arcade machines is actually inside this barcade because they kind of just get around in the area. But I've been dying to get down there and I've actually I've been taking a little stab at filmmaking these days I went up to Toronto to shoot a documentary.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right. So I am actually going to be trying to do another one with these guys. So it'll be a good way to just, you know, meet those guys and, you know, say like, all right, well, you know, is there a time I can come in the, you know, the morning so we can kind of go through the whole thought process. How is it actually possible to successfully run a barcade in a very competitive downtown Salem area. So that'll be fun to go check out with those guys. And that's at 8 o'clock tonight. So I actually have a pretty solid Tuesday night plan.
Nice. I am jealous. All I'm doing is, writing programs, and I got a couple interviews with some magazines that are calling me for a story, but you're way more exciting than my night.
So are you doing the was it People that does Sexiest Man of the Year?
Yeah, that's the magazine that's calling me. Yeah, that's one.
They're looking to see your opinion, or
they're trying to get next year's gathered up. Yeah,
that makes sense. So aside from that, have you been watching any shows? You've been doing the Westworld thing?
Oh my God. Can I just tell you?
but just don't spoil anything for anyone.
I'm not
going
to spoil anything. I'm not going to play that card, but Lisa and I are obsessed with that show. This is the show that I'm probably most obsessed with since Lost. Cause Lost had that whole, conspiracy theories and like trying to figure stuff out and going down these rabbit holes, and maybe this is happening, maybe that's happening. What does that mean? Why did they move their left hand this way? Or, you know, it's just, we have to watch it a day later, cause we use HBO now. We don't have HBO Direct.
Yeah. Same deal.
Yeah. So we watch it on Monday nights, and, the whole season's been great. Like we get every night I come home from work and we're like, she has it like primed and ready to go. She's like, let's go. And then we've been crushing that show. We've been really enjoying it. And like I've been kind of going into various forums and websites trying to read what other people are saying. Yeah, that's right.
Things are going really well at Core, huh? Yeah, we're super busy.
Yeah, so I spend all my free time like reading about Westworld conspiracy theories. Yeah,
I wish you were like still at CSP so I could just like hear Pete like sneak up behind you with a camera phone and film you on Westworld.
And then
fan
you put
sites.
It up on Twitter and it would get it would go viral. Like, jeez. Look at the nerd over here.
Yeah, it is. It's good to have a good sci-fi show back on TV again, because I'm not a Game of Thrones person. I kind of don't like that show, not actively, but I just don't really care for the setting.
Not your thing.
So and also like this, like I haven't, my HBO usually consists of Last Week Tonight, and that's like
which is over
for a couple weeks till next year. But
in real time, do you watch real time?
From time to time, not to get into politics or anything, but it's sometimes some good discussions on there. But so I wasn't really prepared for the HBO nudity of what you can get from an HBO television show, just full frontal, like 50% of Westworld, there is a nude scene.
Yeah, but it's equal opportunity on this show. Like they're showing both male and female, so it isn't. We can't say it's a sexist show, because I know a lot of people shows get flack for that, where it's only female nudity.
Right.
I'm like, they're showing male packages left and right, so it's equal opportunity.
I just that seems like such a hard job.
I would have to. I'd have to see like how much. I wonder how much those actors get paid just to show their.
It can't be that much. Like it's just HBO.
I don't know. Who knows? There's got to be. I bet they get a little bit extra. Little
10% bonus for frontal.
Well, that was way back then. Remember when? I don't know if you remember the movie Swordfish.
I do. Yeah, Halle Berry.
I remember there being this huge story about how much of a, I think she got paid $1 million extra.
That's like
to show. And going back to that, I mean, it's not a great movie, but the scene itself has, I remember the scene vividly where she's nude and it had no relevance to the story. It was just like blatant boob shot. It's just like, and she got paid $1 million for it. So can't blame her.
Yeah, get paid if you can do it. I mean, I don't think anyone would want to necessarily see full frontal from me in a film. But
I wouldn't want to see myself full frontal. I would.
Or just like your parents. Like your parents are going to go watch the movie or go watch the TV show, and uh, that's That's a tough, I mean, Thanksgiving's coming up this week. I mean, that's a really tough
good conversation starter at dinner. You know, you never know.
Right. That's a, yeah, but that's really tough. You get back, get the family back together, and the first thing they say, oh, how's your new show going?
Saw your penis.
Yeah. Solid penis, Tony. Yeah, so that's great. Anyways.
Yeah. So yeah, that's about all I have about for HBO.
So Westworld's solid, but like you're getting towards the end of the year, so I know you tend to do this on your blog and stuff, but do you have a movie in your mind for, you know, best movie of the year?
Best movie of the year I've seen so far. I have three that are on my list right now because you're right. This is the time of year where like all the Oscar bait comes out. But so far this year, I would say my top movies have been a movie called Hell or High Water,
okay,
which stars Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine, which was an excellent movie. The other one I liked was Sully with Tom Hanks.
Really?
Yeah, that was actually, I mean, I fly quite a bit and I'm never really a fan of it. And watching that movie kind of made me shit my pants a little bit because they replay, I mean, I'm not giving, there's no spoilers here. They replay the plane crash like four times in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like white knuckle, like gripping your seat, like what the hell? But it's done really well. And I really like the Arrival that Lisa and I saw the other day with Amy Adams. The gentleman who directed that movie, Denis Villeneuve, he directed my favorite movie of last year, Sicario. And he's becoming one of my favorite directors. Like he is, every movie he's made has been amazing. You want to talk about Hugh Jackman? He did a movie a few years ago with Hugh Jackman called Prisoners. And that movie will fuck you up. Like it is a mind bender thriller. Like it's nuts. It's crazy. And then my other favorite movie this past year was a movie called Green Room. And, it stars Patrick Stewart as a pretty evil guy.
That's a TV show.
Is it Green Room?
Oh no, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
It might be, but this one's about like this punk band that goes to like perform at this like neo-Nazi like in the woods like establishment bar like hall, and they witness a murder, and then they get trapped, and it's like how do they get out? It's one of the more violent movies I've seen.
Wow.
But it's it's pretty intense. And but yeah, like I'm excited. There's a bunch of movies on my to watch list right now. I really want to see Moonlight. That looks really good. Manchester by the Sea is coming out pretty soon. I want to see that. And
filmed in the town I'm in right now.
Yeah. Oh, is that where you are?
It's based off of the town that I live in. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Allied comes out with Brad Pitt, and that looks pretty good. And there's a bunch of them coming out soon, but though as far as the ones that are topping my list right now, it would be those four I named out.
Okay, that's a pretty solid list.
I would recommend them. So you know, it's I think there's a little bit of everything in that list for everyone. Super violent, you know, you got aliens, you have cowboys, and what was the other one? And airplane crashes. So there you go.
So did you see Doctor Strange?
I did not yet, which sadly is on our list. Like this past weekend was Lisa's birthday, and it came down to, hey, do you want to go see Doctor Strange or do you want to go see Arrival? And we ended up going to see Arrival.
Fair enough. mostly because
I wanted to see it. But yeah, I've heard good things about it though, so I'm excited to go see it.
That does. I mean, I haven't had like a ton of interest in seeing it, but it features what I consider to be the most beautiful woman on the planet, Rachel McAdams.
Ooh. Oh, okay. I can't blame you there. That's a good choice. I'm getting a little bit like marveled out though.
Of course, yeah.
It's Civil War was okay. Captain America: Civil War, and I mean, I was really really excited for Luke Cage on Netflix. And mostly because every episode was named after a Gangstar song, and the show was fine. Like I didn't dislike it, but it wasn't. It kind of puttered out towards mid.
It's a slow burn.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. Like I said, I wouldn't say I disliked it, but I wasn't like wowed by it. So nor was I wowed by the last season of Daredevil. So. No, hopefully we got Iron Fist coming out in a couple months, so hopefully that will make up for things.
Yeah, the I mean, it's a really interesting year for movies. Of course, the I've actually continued to be excited for Rogue One. I kind of didn't care about it at the start, but it looks really good.
And can I funny story about Rogue One? Can I tell you a story about it?
Of course.
So when Lisa and I were in London this past August, we did a 2-day workshop out there. And I don't know if you recall the very first teaser trailer, Rogue One, like the very first one that came out that was like a minute and a half long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like in the background, like the like half of the trailer had like the Death Star alarm going off in the background.
Yeah,
exactly. And there was a scene, like a second or two clip where you see the rebels running and being chased by stormtroopers, which we assume is the Death Star, like they're running in the Death Star. So fast forward to Lisa and I being in London, and we stayed in this area called Canary Wharf. And that was where we were doing our workshop at the Third Space. And day one of the workshop, the trainers who were, everyone knows I'm obsessed with Star Wars. So they're like, Tony, you know, did you know that a lot of Star Wars was filmed here? I go, yeah, like I know it's filmed here. Well, that scene, like in the Death Star, was filmed in the tube station that we used to get to and from Canary Wharf.
Hmm.
And so essentially, I was in the Death Star. So you know, it was
yeah, that makes sense.
It blew my fucking mind. I was like, what? And yeah, so it was that was my cool. Admittedly, I guess maybe not as exciting story as I thought it was going to be. But,
no, you can count it. It works.
So yeah, I'm obviously excited for that too. I think Lisa and I last year we waited to see Force Awakens on New Year's Eve, and we'll probably do the same this year. We'll kind of hold off a little bit and wait to go see it on New Year's Eve or on Christmas Eve. Sorry.
Well, you got a hell of a couple weeks coming up, not only with Star Wars but also with the sequel and the return of Kate Beckinsale in Underworld.
Of course. Yeah, that's a big crush of mine right there.
So, you know, she still can kill vampires and stuff.
She can.
Or werewolves.
She can look good doing it.
Did she kill vampires or werewolves?
I think they're called
lichens.
Weren't they called lichens? Yeah.
Yeah. Man, so. How do I know that crap? All right. Well, that's a little bit of extra entertainment news from your source, your number one source for entertainment. That's Tony Gentilcore.
I don't even lift weights. I just watch movies. I don't even.
Yeah, it's just pure. I don't know. Anyways, that's it. We're gonna record the actual show. Hope you enjoyed it.